This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome in. It's episode 36 of the Inferno Podcast. I'm Landrum Roberts. Today's episode rundown brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. We're going to have UAB football coach Trent Dilfer on talking about the spring showcase that took place last weekend. We continue to trend ahead to the summer months and looking to the start of the 2025 college football season. A.J. Brown, talented returning starter from the defensive side of the ball, is going to join us as well. Very entertaining lightning round we have planned for those two individuals. You don't want to miss it. It's the Inferno Podcast, episode 36. Here we go.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the green and gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube. But also Instagram, you can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB on Facebook. That's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics. You can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links. We've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Landrum Roberts along with UAB head football coach Trent Dilfer. As always, the Coach's Corner is brought to us by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. Saturday Spring Showcase, it's in the books. Now you turn your attention to more off-season training as we lead up to fall practice and all of that good stuff. But first of all, Coach, I thought that for all intents and purposes, what you were trying to get out of your spring showcase, you checked all the boxes.
Yeah, I think we did. Number one, I wanted the fan experience to be really unique, and I thought it was. You know, you had a few hundred people out there. I don't know the total numbers, but they were engaged with our players. Our players went there early and kind of did the meet and greet. People were playing on the bounce houses and eating in the food trucks. Like, I just thought it was a cool vibe where the fan could get kind of up close and personal. They're able to get really close to the action. And we did the first 45 minutes of the practice in kind of a practice format, so the fans got to see what that looked like. Because I'm sure they're wondering, like, what do they do on a Tuesday? what do they do on a Thursday? They don't play football all day, every day. So they got to see that. And then I thought our players had great juice. You know, I talked to them in the team meeting before. I'm like, guys, go have some fun. Like, you've worked hard. Go have some fun. Have some juice. Let's work on our body language. You know, one thing that's gotten in a lot of trouble the last couple of years is kind of that energy suck, the energy vampire experience on the field. Things don't go a player's way and everybody can feel it. I'm like, guys, it doesn't matter what happens. Like, let's present ourselves in a way like a champion presents itself. And I thought our players did a good job with that. There was ebbs and flows like any scrimmage format, but guys bounced back and practiced hard. And then we got out of there completely healthy, which was a huge part of it.
Maybe it's an unpopular opinion with fans that still want to see the traditional spring game. But professionally for me, from that standpoint, I got a lot more out of Saturday than I would have had you guys done the dog and pony vanilla on both sides of the ball and all of that.
No, listen, if we could sell 45,000 tickets,
of course,
and buy new jerseys and go green and gold against each other and do that whole thing, I'd be all for it, you know, but this is not where we're at. And I don't think many programs are. So, and I think we used it as a practice. I mean, there's still some evaluation going on. There were some, you know, some fringe competitions going on that we used that as kind of see how they showed up in their last competitive environment. So as we go into summer, we still won't have depth charts in summer, but we'll have a better idea of rep counts. And you know, there's only so many reps to go through in the summer. There's only so many in fall camp. And really what you're doing in the spring is you're earning more opportunity in the summer and fall camp to be a guy that we're counting on to win games.
As far as what you wanted to get accomplished from your team, from your coaching staff, and you have new members and guys that are well-traveled in their NFL years and various other places, did you use it as a little bit of a dress rehearsal and a game day type thing?
A little bit. We didn't do as much situational stuff as I've done in the past because I'm kind of trusting that these guys don't need a whole lot of situational work. You know what I mean? They're pros. Offensively, we're pretty much, we know each other. We've worked together for a couple of years. So, yeah, we had the headset communication going on. We had some stuff up top, you know, in terms of personnel groupings and stuff like that. But we weren't going to go through the whole like we will in a fall scrimmage. In the fall scrimmage, I think we'll go through all that because it's our final dress rehearsal before the first games. But this was more about the players and less about the coaches. I think what we really wanted to make sure happened at the end of spring ball before the players went home for a little break was we all get to know each other and trust each other. I mean, there was a point, and I think people forget this, but I'm sitting there looking at a spreadsheet and I see 41 scholarship players on my roster in December. And then I look at the next spreadsheet and I have half a staff. So there was a time that I was sitting there with half of a staff and less than half of a football team. And it was that moment I said, okay, this is fine. Like, this isn't a problem. We got to find solutions. But one of the big solutions was when we come together, when we are finally whole or close to whole, we better develop a team out of this. And we better get to know each other. We better communicate with one another and know the expectations for one another. And I think you talk to any of our players, they love this staff. They love that they're honest with them. You know, we're very upfront and honest with our players, brutally honest at times. We really like these players. We like them as young men. We like their work ethic. We like their traits. And we like how they're coming together. You know, a little more of a, I don't want to sound cheesy, but a little more of a cheerleader feel on our team now where guys are rooting for one another. Like, they know, like, I'll use AJ because he's here today, but AJ knows for AJ to have a great season, he also needs those other safeties to have a great season too, right? Like, we're starting to see the bigger picture that takes everybody to be successful, and people aren't so caught up in their own personal agendas. They're more about the team agenda, and that was one of the things I was really, really pleasantly surprised with by the end of the year, is both coach and player, we are all getting closer to having one agenda.
I'm so glad that you said that, because that was the first thing I thought, is cohesiveness, and just I think having that team spirit and mm-hmm. rooting on. Mm-hmm. Not that it was terrible in past years, but that struck me. Yeah. Okay, you said it, yeah. and that's fair. But it struck a chord with me on Saturday. Like, yeah, this looks and this feels different.
You have to have the right kind of people in the building.
Yeah.
And it was never not a point of emphasis. Again, AJ's been here my whole time here. It's always been a point of emphasis. But you have to have you can say it all you want. You have to have the people that it's sticky to. Like, they hear it, they take it in, like, yes, I'm going to let this stick to me and let this change me. And this is a group, when I speak in the team meetings, I always joke with the staff and the players on around. I'm like, you don't have to stand up there and look at all these eyes. Like, I can tell you where we're at as a program based on how those eyes are looking back at me. And I stand in front of 140 people in a team meeting, and all the players are right in the middle. And I can usually tell you, oh, we're ready to practice, we're not ready to practice. Oh, this is going to be a rough week, this is going to be a good week. Or, oh, he's checked out, or he's in. This is a group, I look into their eyes, and for the most part, they're like, okay, coach, give me something to help me get better and help us get better.
Yeah.
And they're glued in. They want to hear you. They're taking notes. They're doing their very best at this stage of their lives to say, you know what, weird ball guy has something that's going to help me and help us, I might listen to this. And I've tried to do a better job of simplifying it and making sure it's relevant all the time. And this is a group of people that I feel like I can trust.
Well, and you go back to, and something you just said, and you being a parent, you certainly know this. And I can remember back to things that my parents told me. A lot of times I was hard-headed. Imagine that. Us as men, we have a tendency to be a little bit stubborn.
You think?
But when I really started resonating with me and things that they had told me, or, hey, you need to, you know, whatever it was, I had to be hard-headed, experience for myself, experience failure, and that didn't work out. And, oh, yeah, you know what? I guess my parents were right. Saying that to say that you do have a football team that a lot of different personalities, and for some reason or another, they're here at UAB now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe some of them have been humbled just a bit, or humbled, if you want to put it that way.
I think some have. I think it's, there's only a handful that have been here the whole time,
right?
That have been through this roller coaster. So yes, I think that group, myself, I would start that group and say, yes, I've been humbled. Absolutely. It's a good thing. I'm glad that at 53, I'm still being humbled and still have a lot of things to work on. But I think the bigger piece of it was, I remember sitting in front of the staff before we all left for Christmas, and half the staff isn't there anymore. And I also gave this talk to the staff when they came back, and I said, listen, we will no longer have any hostages in this building, period. Like, there'll be volunteers. Like, we're not taking anybody hostage. We're not making you be here. You get to do this. You get to go to this great institution. You get to be in this great city. You get to make the money you make as coaches. They get a full ride scholarship plus some money. Like, they get to be part of a coaching staff that actually cares for them and does just treat them as commodities. And we're going to take that approach in how we look at the portal, because we knew the portal was going to be a huge part of how to rebuild this team. And we're looking at high school recruiting too. Like, We don't want to date you, recruit, if we're like number 9 on your list. Like, we're just not interested at that point. We don't want somebody else's leftovers. We want kids that want to be here, that want to see the opportunity, that are grateful for that, that have the get-to mentality. And when you're not dealing with hostages, it's a lot easier to get a message across. It's a lot easier to get people to come together. It's a lot easier to ask them to do really hard things, which we've asked them to do really hard things and sacrifice. And they'll do it because they want to be here and they want to see the greater good. So we feel like right now we still have 10 spots to fill. So there are scholarships. We feel like all but 10, because we haven't filled them yet. We have those guys that want to be here.
What is your ideal if we have Trent Dilfer? And I know you said if we could sell 45,000 tickets, but what do you think? Because you've been in the entertainment side of things. What's your ideal spring showcase? What could we implement?
I had a thing.
Besides Taylor Swift, because everybody would come and watch her. Well, so I had a thing
at Lipscomb called Summer Sizzle. And this is what I would like to do for a spring showcase.
Summer Sizzle.
We had the moms actually come out and go through individual drill.
Okay.
And play a little football. We had the dads go through a bunch of physical activities and do things like their sons do. We had their sons coaching them. It was awesome. We had fans, just randoms, that would come out and be part of the day. I would sit in a dunk tank. They would dunk me. We had all kinds of games going on. It was like, think of a football carnival. To me, that would be the ultimate.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be an awesome experience. I think we can grow to something.
We get a Ferris wheel out there.
I think we can grow to something like that. That was the idea this year with kind of the bounce houses and the food trucks, to have kind of that carnival feel. But I would love for more fan interaction. You know, I would still probably practice a little bit, you know, maybe on the front end, do a little bit, maybe half of what we did the other day. Because there were some of the key things we wanted to see in that final scrimmage. There's just a few, but we needed to see them. So get those boxes checked. And then make it more fun, make it more crowd engaging. I think the more this city gets to know our players, the more butts we'll have in those seats. Like, I've said it since day one. Like, if I went to Alabama, if I went to Auburn, I'd probably be going to their games too, right? Unless I had a connection to somebody at UAB. And I think our players are very worth connecting with. You know, I enjoy being around them. Many of my date my daughters if they weren't married. You know what I mean? They're good people. They're good young men. They're doing the right thing. And they're really fun to be around. So I want our fans to be around them. I think the more our fans are around our players, the better vibe we'll have as a program. So I'd like to do things that created a better vibe and let the fans know our players.
Well, a lot of these guys in the additions that we've had through the transfer portal in the offseason and some attrition and guys gone from graduation. I asked you before spring started, you said, hey, I still don't know these guys. It was kind of a speed dating process. I have to get to know them. How much better do you feel like you know your team, Coach?
A lot, especially I'd say the last 10 days of spring. You know, as things got, you usually learn the most about people when they're tired, when they're worn out, when they're broken a little bit, when they're irritable, when they're grumpy, when they're stressed. You know, these kids had the stress of finals coming up too. We push academics. We should finish with the best GPA in the history at UAB football this year. So these kids are under a lot. So and I was keeping a close eye on this, and I actually added some things to make the end even harder. You know, I wanted to see them at their wit's end. I want to see their true personalities come out. And you know, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was expecting maybe a little more drama, a little more selfishness, a little more woe is me. Instead, I got the opposite for the most part. I got a group that was like, every single day, let's, you know, put on our working clothes and go to work and get better. And I thought the team camaraderie got better towards the end, too. I saw it. And I checked these things. Like, guys are hanging out more together off the field. There's less cliques. They're finding things to do with one another. Their engagement in their academics, whether not just be going to class and getting good grades, but going to the academic appointments. You know, I'm checking in with academic staff. And for the most part, guys are early, not just showing up right when it starts.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You are seeing academics, right?
I am.
Okay.
We care a lot about it.
I didn't know if that was still a thing.
It's a thing.
That's a thing. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's a big thing. They're all going to be pros in something. In fact, I think this is the last talk I gave before they left for spring. It was like, you know, don't forget why we're doing this. You're going to be a pro in something. Some of you may play pro football, but you're going to all be pro earners. They're going to have to learn how to be professional earners. They got to earn a living to support the people in their life. Many will be husbands. We want to teach them to be very good at that. Many will be fathers. We want to teach them how to be good at that too. So there's a tremendous emphasis within our program as the complete person. And I've said this, and it has not worked the first 2 years, but we believe it's going to work. Is the better human we're producing off the field, the more that will translate on the field. You know, they'll make better decisions on the field. They'll take those professional habits and take them. Oh, I've learned really hard things, how to do things I don't want to do, but I know I need to do them. Well, football asks you to do a lot of things you don't want to do, but you need to do them for the benefit of the team. And we think there'll be care over there as well.
Your football carnival, I was just sitting here racking my brain. And to kind of go in with a fire breathers mentality, let's get fire breathers.
Well, I think we should be able to do some type of bungee cords off the rafters of the Legacy Pavilion, too. I don't see that being that much liability. I mean, come on.
No, structurally, and these companies that would do it, we're not going to offer that to fans or players or coaches, right? Are you thinking that?
I don't know.
Okay. but fire breathers. We have jugglers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe chainsaws, like the guy you see there at the pier there in San Francisco.
Have you done the axe throwing thing, by the way?
I've never done the axe throwing thing.
It's pretty cool. It's not real safe, but you got to do it where they bring in the whole, like, their self-contained axe throwing mobile units. Like, those are pretty cool. Get a couple of those out there.
See, the axe, I think I would enjoy it, but I think I would rather throw, like, daggers or throwing stars.
Throwing stars are cool.
Just something a little more. Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking, because you're probably getting us both in trouble right now, is you know how they have those like all-star softball tournaments? I think we should have a wiffle ball, like mega wiffle ball tournament. Because you know our legacy is set up to where baseball can practice there, and there's little spots in the turf where you can set up bases. You can take the turf out and put a little base on there. It's like we have a built-in baseball field in the pavilion. We have like wiffle ball. And I like taping the wiffle ball so you can throw a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So it hurts also when it hits somebody. But we tape up with the wiffle ball, beef up the bats, and we just have a massive wiffle ball tournament.
Dodgeball, to your point.
Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
I turned on the Ocho the other night, and they had kickball on. I'm not real familiar with kickball.
Kickball's kind of faded because you had some NFL guys that were hosting, and maybe they still do, hosting the celebrity tournaments and inviting their other NFL buddies to come and compete in them, but...
Really?
Yeah.
This was like actually teams from like all over the country came in, and like one team was named Florida Above All. It was an acronym for Florida Above All, whatever that is. And they were playing the Texas team, and it was like men and women and full kickball on the Ocho.
And get stilts. stilts.
Yeah. I haven't seen stilts in a long time.
Yeah. Get stilts. Get the folks walking around. They can have fun with the kids. Kids.
Did you go to a lot of carnivals as a kid?
As a kid, yeah. I loved carnivals.
Carnivals are cool.
Loved them. Probably forced my parents to take me, no offense to any state fair out there, but to more than they wanted me to.
State fairs are cool.
Yes.
California's cool. Well, where I grew up was neat on the coast because you have the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, which is a true amusement park on the water, but just across town, there was a big state fair as well. So, like in the summer, you could hit the boardwalk and you could hit the state fair.
I love state fair food.
So, yeah, oh, yeah. It's so bad for you, but it tastes so
bad,
good.
But it's okay because it's the state fair.
Well, and you burn it off as you're going through all the cool stuff at the state fair.
Yeah, I can remember. I was going through some stuff that I had in storage, and I still have this picture of I think it's a mule deer that I won from a basketball at the Alabama State Fair when I was like
eight. Have a picture of it?
Yeah, it's a framed. It was actually a framed picture of a mule deer.
That's pretty cool.
I've never hung it up. It's just, it's there. I won it. It's mine.
Did you ever, as a kid, know that you were putting your life on the line when you got into a carnival ride that maybe not have been past all the safety checks?
No. Maybe should have? And you know what? Ignorance was bliss at that point in my life. But now, reading some of the stories that we've read, not only from the United States, but across the world, hopefully the safety regulations have gotten a little bit tougher.
I really hope so.
You know, it should have known, though, and you can't always judge a book by the cover, but yeah, some of those folks, you're like, did you really train to fasten me into this ride that's about to go a million miles an hour upside down?
Yeah, I have a lot of regrets in my life, and all the fairs and boardwalks I went to as a young kid is one of those regrets.
Yeah.
I can't believe I made it.
All of us, right?
Yeah.
Ignorance was bliss back then.
Yes.
Thank the good Lord we made it through it. I do want to ask you about the draft. Going back to your draft experience, 1994?
Yep.
Sixth overall.
Yep.
You go to the Bucks. So you did not have to endure what some others had to endure. But leading up to the draft, did you have a good idea where you were going, when you were going to be taken?
So I'll make this story quick because I think you're going to lead to the Shedora story. But I was supposed to go one the night before. It was me or Big Daddy Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And then I found out as I wake up that the Bengals were going to take Big Daddy. And then I thought I was going to three at three to the Redskins. And my wife had already found us a place in Washington. We had friends with the Redskins, Norv Turner and I, their quarterback coach, their GM, who I still talk to. I mean, this thing was done. I was going three to the Redskins.
Was that Shuler?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That was the draft.
And I ended up playing for Norv later on in my career. And I finally asked him, I said, what happened? Like, I wanted to play. I thought this was done. He goes, well, I woke up that morning. I felt like your personality was too strong.
He goes, too strong.
I felt like there was going to be a friction there. And he goes, I regret it, but that's my why. And so then I didn't want – remember the famous Mel Kiper arguing with Tobin, the Colts GM?
Yes.
So that came because my agent said I wouldn't play for the Colts. At the time, this is not the Colts that you know of now, right? This is a very dysfunctional organization, and my agent said, hey, you will not play for Indy, so we'll tell Indy you won't sign, because the next year was expansion. And Bill Polian already told me I'd be the first pick of the draft to the Carolina Panthers. So we had threatened we'd sit out the whole year, because you had made enough money before the draft at that time that you had enough money to live off of. So my wife and I were just going to hold out if the Colts took me. And I probably never would have happened, but that was the threat. So that's when the Colts want to take me. I've been playing with Marshall Faulk, who was in my division, right? It was one of the dumbest things my agent's ever done, and we ever agreed to. My wife's still mad at me about it. But that's why I didn't go four. And then five was a pick that was locked for a defensive player. It was five, Willie McGinnis to the Patriots, I think, and that was locked. So then Tampa was six, or maybe the Rams might have traded with somebody in there. I can't remember. I know that Chuck Knox did not want to coach a rookie quarterback. I know that. So he didn't want me. And then I had done visits with Tampa, and I had gotten to know Sam pretty well, but I never thought I was going there because it was supposed to be done at the Redskins. So the best part of the story is the third pick gets called out, and we're on the floor. Back then it was an agreement. You're on the floor, just off of the front stage. And my wife thinks, hey, we're going through the Redskins. And they pick Heath Shuler, and she starts crying. And I look at my mom and my dad and my friends. I'm like, get her out of here. they literally had to get her, like, take her off, you know, back behind because she's crying because we didn't go to the Redskins. And I kind of ate it, you know, sat there and like, okay, well, I guess I'm going. I know I'm not going to the Colts, so I guess I'm going to the Bucks at six. And that's
what. But Shuler became a congressman, right?
He did, yeah. His son's actually a recruitable player right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you can ask Shuler Sanders.
From your quarterback expertise, grade, all of that stuff, were you as floored as others that Shador Sanders did not go higher than he did?
Oh, yeah. I was shocked where he went. Okay. AJ and I were talking about this coming over. I evaluated Shador when he was a high school player because I was doing the Elite 11, and I really liked him. I've always really liked him as a player. I really like him as a competitor. He is an awesome competitor. He is tough. He is smart. His teammates love him. They play hard for him. There's nothing you can't do with him as your quarterback. Like, you can run any style offense you want. I really like him as a competitor, as a player. I did not think his traits, you know, his arm strength, his size, his athleticism, put him in the early stages of the first round. But Daniel Jeremiah and I were texting back and forth a while back, and he was asking my input, and I thought he was a mid-first-round pick. Like that, I kind of thought he'd go 8 to 18, somewhere in there. But I think what happened – now, I think some of the conspiracy theories are probably true as well. The NFL can be manipulative at times. But I think the biggest thing that happened to him – this was, I was explaining to AJ on the way over. I heard an analyst talk about this, and I agreed with this analyst, and I do think it's what happened is once the teams that were looking for a starter – decided that he was not their starter. They still may like him, but they're just like, nah, he's not going to be our starter. We're going to go get a guy in free agency, or we're going to groom this guy that's already on our roster, or whatever it may be, right? And there's only four or five teams that were looking for a potential starting quarterback. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So once those teams had decided we're taking somebody else or we're not drafting a starting quarterback, they made that decision whenever they made it. When all of a sudden he goes in the backup quarterback bucket, and now it doesn't matter how good he is. Now it matters when are you willing to draft a backup quarterback. Because starting all pro corners and safeties and defensive tackles and offensive guards and tight ends and a lot of wide receivers that are playing in Pro Bowls are drafted in 2, 3, 4, and 5. So that's what you've built your whole board on, is we got to go draft future difference makers at these other positions in those rounds. Well, you don't draft a backup quarterback instead of drafting who you think might be the future AJ Brown for you, your starting safety, and go to 3 Pro Bowls and hope you win a division championship. Now that stinks, but that's the way the draft boards work. And I think that was the best explanation. I still think it's wrong. I still think he's talented enough to go early, and I do think he's probably a starting quarterback in the NFL. But that's most likely what happened, along with some of this other stuff that you're hearing.
Yeah, and this is just my point of view, but I didn't buy into the whole it's collusion by everybody. You got 32 organizations on the same page, and they're pulling off this grand conspiracy.
You can't get
32. There's no way.
You can't get...
It'd be hard enough to get 3, Coach. You can't get
10 multi-billionaires to do the same thing, yeah. Right? They're all, you can imagine,
yeah.
Right? And you can't get them to do... I mean, the owners' meetings are supposedly one of the funniest things ever because you get all these, you know, powerful people that think they're always right in the same room and get them to agree on things. You can't get them to agree on anything. So there's no way this was full league collusion. There might have been some elements of this. I'm sure he ticked off a couple teams. But so did I. You know what I mean? And so do the quarterbacks every single year. Is they don't fit what you're looking for. I mean, Parcells said forever he wouldn't take a Hollywood quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of great quarterbacks he didn't have because they were too Hollywoodish. Some don't like athletic quarterbacks. Some don't like pocket quarterbacks. Some don't like tall quarterbacks. Some don't like flashy. I mean, quarterback is like ice cream. I think we would all agree we all like ice cream. Even if you're lactose intolerant, you like ice cream. Not what it does to you, but you like the taste of it. Very few people don't like ice cream. It's very hard to get anybody to agree upon their favorite ice cream. Right now, there's 5 of us in this room, right? If we did a blind drive, I bet you we'd have 5 different favorite ice creams. Quarterbacks are like ice creams. In a lot of ways, they're all pretty darn good, right? It's your flavor. What flavor do you like? And I don't think this year, with a limited amount of starting jobs, that his flavor hit the taste buds of those looking as much as in previous drafts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Baskin Robbins, it turned out, they had a pretty good model. They're like, why just offer two?
Yeah, you got to have 31.
And going. Yeah. By the way, do you go sugar, regular cone, waffle, or cup?
I'm a cup guy.
Are you?
Yeah, I do like the waffle cones, so I don't dislike them, but I typically go cup.
Hmm. Yeah. You just feel like you're holding a torch if you're holding a regular ice cream?
Kind of. I get more in a cup, too. And I can put more stuff on it. I like the stuff that goes on it. I like sundaes really more than anything.
Sundaes.
Were you a banana split guy? A huge banana split guy.
I was never sweets. I didn't want to bust your bubble. I was never sweets. I wanted to fit in. Sugar has just always had an adverse effect on me and the way I feel.
Well, I would agree with you there. Like it's like death to me right now, but I'll still do it. It's how I get tougher in my old age.
It's how I get tougher.
Put my body through things.
Are you lactose intolerant?
I'm sugar intolerant.
Sugar intolerant? Oh, yeah. I've just never, and it was tough on me as a kid because even your own birthday party.
Yeah, you don't want the cake.
You want to eat the cake,
yeah.
But it just made me feel terrible.
It does. It makes me feel terrible.
I would get a cheese wheel, like an artisan cheese wheel. Like, my mom, bless her heart.
Could you do charcuterie every day of your life?
I could.
So could I.
We could change it up. Maybe I'll go Kalamala olives instead of
you could change the charcuterie. Pepperoni. I agree. Yeah, and there's so many options.
Yeah.
Could you do chips and salsa? I think I could live off three things. Charcuterie boards, dried mango, which we've talked about here before, and chips and salsa.
Yeah, chips and salsa. Mm-hmm. I would, which you can go more of the blend, more the it's been blended more, or I just love a good pico de gallo.
See, I'm not a pico guy. I'm a true, like, roasted salsa guy. Roasted super salsa. Hot, too. It's got to make my head sweat.
I could eat tacos every day.
Yeah, but, I could, too. Have you been to Salud downtown?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got to go to Salud downtown. New taco bar?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And this is from a California taco snob. You know, like grew up with my best friend's grandmother made fresh tacos every day, right? When we come back in from Little League practice and stuff. And they're really, really good.
I'll tell you what.
And I'm getting I'm not getting paid by them. I don't get free food there.
No.
Like, I love it. It's a nice little addition to downtown.
I'll tell you, next time you want to make a quesadilla or a taco, go chorizo and put some goat cheese on it.
I've done that.
Yeah.
You're not talking to an amateur here. I'm a professional. Look how fat I am right now. I'm a professional eater.
Okay. I was throwing that out there. Anybody out there, chorizo with some goat cheese.
It's really good.
Yeah. Melt that sucker down. You throw a little cilantro in there.
How do you, when you do it, okay, this is all another conversation now. Mm-hmm. Like when you actually make your quesadilla at home, how do you prepare the tortillas?
How do I prepare them? Yeah. I've got a grill pan
that
I do it. I like to get some grill marks on there.
Okay.
Where it looks like that, yeah.
A little olive oil brush, a little butter brush.
We'll
just
do that.
A little bit, right?
And I'll make sure that the ingredients, and this is key for you rookies at home, for the melting factor, and you don't want your tortilla to be overdone.
Exactly.
You want everything, the melting point, everything has to mesh. Take that grated cheese or whatever and make it room temperature sitting out on the counter. Don't just pull it straight from refrigerator and go on to tortilla because you're not going to have the right ratio.
Big mistake is you have tacos the night before and the leftover taco meat you put in a Tupperware thing in the refrigerator, and then you take that Tupperware out the next day and just put it on your, say you're going to make a beef quesadilla. Well, the problem is that beef that's been in the Tupperware is cold. And it doesn't heat up properly with your cheese. And it messes up the whole distribution of melting of the cheese and the heat of the quesadilla with the meat inside the quesadilla.
This is good.
Yeah. We should do a food show.
Yeah, we really should.
Yeah.
I know where to get the seed money.
Done.
All right.
I'm looking for another great investment. This is perfect.
AJ Brown, does he like tacos? Does he like carnivals? You're going to meet him. We'll find out next. Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Lance Roberts continue to be joined by UAB head football coach Trent Dilfer and coach AJ Brown. This is one of those rare guys that is actually coming back. We've seen as a Blazer the last couple of years, more prominently last year, where he has played in all 12 games, but racked up, 31-plus tackles, had some tackles for loss, interception, all that good stuff. But this is a guy—
Sack against Arkansas, right?
Against Arkansas. You know what you're getting in AJ Brown.
Yeah, and we actually think we're getting more than what you've seen. I think we're getting a lot more. AJ is such a great story. Number one is resilience. He's put up with 2 years that have been very painful, right? And he's, through the course of them, has not flinched. He's never been a complainer, never blamed anybody else. He's really one of those guys, you talk about players chasing their best, try not to get caught up in the other stuff, just go be you and try to be the best version of you. AJ is the poster boy for that. He's gotten a lot better. He's always had the intangible, the leadership qualities, toughness, a high football IQ. I think I was wrong, and I've told him this, I was wrong. I didn't value the talent as much early on. And this is why we test in the offseason. One of the coolest things Coach Lyle and his staff do is we have a bunch of different data points that they test over the offseason. You kind of get a raw athletic index of a player, and we call it the Blazer score. It's a really important thing for them. They all look at it. It's posted kind of like a Madden score, yeah. Right? If you tell the fans, like, it's, we basically have a running Madden score in our building. And last year, about midway through, and I'm going through the number, I get the numbers probably every 3 weeks. I'll go through them. I'm going through the numbers. I'm looking at AJ's numbers. I didn't know he was that fast. I didn't know his 10-yard acceleration was that good. I didn't know his squat was that good. I didn't know his vertical, he was that explosive. I didn't know his change of direction was that good. So, you know, one, his work ethic and his testing is kind of the first thing that kind of set off is we have a much better athlete than at least I had given him credit for. And then he earned playing time, played well when he played. And he's trustable. And I think that's the other thing too. We've gone through 2 years where not all of our players have been trustable on game day. AJ's a guy that, you know, he's going to be the same on game day, if not better than he was during the week. So, and the cool thing was he had a fresh start with the staff, you know, so there's no preconceived notions. So I kept my mouth shut, and you can talk to the defensive staff, AJ, and any of our players. I was so careful not to say anything about our players. Like, I didn't want to give them dirty eyes on anything,
yeah.
Whether it be AJ or James Smyrie or anybody right. else. They did not roll and I said, hey, you got this field safety that I think this, you got this defensive end that I think that, or you got this three technique that I think this. I'm like, you guys shouldn't care what I think, right? I'm losing coach after 2 years. You make your own assessments and I'll keep my mouth shut. And over time, it kept coming back to me. I mean, we love this AJ Brown guy. Like, man, he's got great leadership qualities, and man, he's really twitchy, and man, he plays with power, and I'm watching him lift, and he's a, you know, leader in the weight room, and you should see him in meetings, and I'm just kind of sitting back going, this is awesome, you know, to have fresh eyes on a player and have those fresh eyes value him more than I had to that point. So it's been an awesome ride with AJ. I'm so glad he chose to be a part of this thing, and we're looking for – and now I told – when I called you in a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey – I was wrong. You're right. And I expect more. Like, I was pretty matter of fact. I'm like, yeah. Hey, if you're this good, right? Too much is given, much is expected. Like, now I want some more leadership qualities to come out. Like, go run that defense. We haven't had anybody just runs the dang defense. Go run the show.
First of all, AJ, welcome into the Inferno podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. All of the things that Coach just said about you, and we're very candid on this podcast. I am guessing, not to know specifics, you had opportunities to go other places.
Right.
Why are you still at UAB?
You know, Coach explains it in the team meeting, saying how grass is not always greener on the other side. And, you know, talking to my family, praying about it. The stress of the portal is what people really don't talk about. Because in reality, some people may get in and they have an idea of where they're going to go. But those guys who get in and really don't have that solid, concrete evidence where they're going to go, where they're going to end up. It's like he said, free agent at that point. And, you know, that anybody that's played football as long as, you know, I have or they have been in that point in their career, it's kind of a, you know, you feel that in your chest, you know, when you wake up in the morning. That's kind of not something you want to wake up having. And then, you know, having the conversations with my parents, it just led to, you know, maybe staying home is really – what I need to do with my career as far as me, not anyone else, not any coaches or anything, any external variables. It was just me. And in the end, that just became the best decision that I needed to make. And it's paying off. And I think that it was a blessing in disguise of, you know, just everything that's been a part of my journey has led me to this point. And I'm just grateful that I've had the guidance, the people in my corner, coaches and everything to support me all the way up to this point.
Yeah, and something that you said is I have buddies that for some reason they feed on drama, right. And it doesn't make them bad people. They just that's part of kind of what makes them up for good or
for
bad.
Daughters,
daughters. Well, one, yeah.
Go ahead.
One in particular. anyway, But that's just not me. I don't like drama. Drama's not my thing. It seems like there's a lot of drama out there in the portal.
Definitely.
What are some of the crazier things that you've experienced just by former teammates or guys that you knew from high school that they're encountering and dealing with?
I think what people don't know is that, like, your rank on somebody's board, you know, the same way we were just talking in the car about maybe where a guy in the draft is on the board. Maybe you want a starter at this position, but you want a backup at this position, and there's priority in that. And they will recruit you based off that. You know, they may send you a text saying that they're interested, but not really go full go because they're not on you yet. And that's kind of the, you know, unknown part about it. When people get in the portal, they say, oh, I'm going to get in the portal. They don't like where they're at. But you may not be top priority guy, and it may never get to you, and then you're, you know, out of luck. So those are probably one of the things that I've heard. I've had friends, teammates, former teammates, all of that have had to deal with getting in the portal.
You're originally from Marietta, Georgia, so just one state over and not too far away. But when consulting with your family, if those conversations that you were having in the off season, you've experienced the last couple of years with Coach Dilfer and that staff and teammates, that a lot of them, they have now gone. But when you had those conversations with your family, I'm guessing they were a pretty big influence. Definitely. On your life, not only prior to coming to UAB, but now. If you could, just take us inside some of those conversations.
You know, my dad, he's a big part of my life, big part of my football journey. You know, we definitely talk every day on it, prayed on it. You know, going back and forth, is this a decision we want to make? Is it not? And then my mom, she has a different role in it. It's more so of a comforting part. You know those things you don't want to really be vulnerable to your dad too?
Right.
Because, you know, he's kind of hard-nosed.
She's your nurturer.
Definitely. And that's where I would go to seek that piece of guidance. So on the mental part of it and not really on action-based. Because really, you know, she's not really involved on the football schematical part, on what's going on and stuff like that. More like my dad would be more involved in. But it definitely took a village. My sisters, they always support me no matter what. So I know I could always go to them, whether it's anything, football, life, all of that. But all of it took everyone to really just go through the process and end up where I'm at, being just comfortable and able to have a goal straightforward and go for that.
I noticed the first thing you mentioned is you said you prayed and having that. And there is a certain peace that comes with that.
Definitely.
when you can offer it up and you can give it to the Lord and just knowing that he's got your best interest at heart.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
That's awesome. A.J. Brown, we continue with him here on the Inferno podcast, Coach Trent Dilfer as well. So you don't have to give us coach speak. Like I said, we're very candid on this podcast. You just heard all about our great taco ideas.
Yeah.
And carnival ideas. First of all, do you have any additions you would like for a future spring showcase? We got stilts. We got flames. We got bouncy houses, potentially a Ferris wheel.
Bungee cords.
Bungee cord. We're going to check with insurance on that.
I think maybe a basketball tournament in the future. I think a lot of guys on the team, hoopers or claim to be hoopers. I'm not going to claim to be one, but I definitely think basketball could be a future.
Is this going to be like a setup and shoot, or are we going interactive? Because I'm going to need double knee braces.
I would argue. Let me interject real quick. I would argue the thing I'm calling a bungee. What are those things called where guys are jumping off bridges and they have?
Oh, that's a bungee cord.
Okay, it's called a bungee cord, right?
Yeah.
I'd say that's safer than getting a bunch of alphas playing 4-on-4 basketball.
I will agree with you on that.
Like, I go out there and watch them playing basketball, and all I see is ankles and knees.
Ankles and knees.
And my team just... I go out there the other day, and I'm not going to say who it was because I almost ruined them.
Were you mortified?
Mortified. No shoes on.
Oh.
Playing basketball. And they play right underneath my office. So, like, they're not hiding from me. Like, all I do is walk out and watch them. And I just... Anyways, that's a pet peeve of mine. I do like when they go play horse.
Yeah,
or like
horse.
They goof around.
Horse is good.
But like,
yeah.
They're out there trying to get to the rim and dunk on each other and cross each other over. And I'm just like, oh, no.
We will talk through the basketball. Well, that's a good
Sounds
idea.
Sounds like though. Basketball is out the window.
Cornhole. Let's go cornhole. Yeah. Much safer.
Definitely.
Wiffle ball.
Yeah,
wiffle ball. You gave all your ideas in that you led him there with all your ideas. You didn't honor any of my ideas.
No, I did. I had forgotten about the bungee
jump.
The bungee
jump. Bungee. Wiffle ball.
And wiffle ball.
Yeah. Wiffle ball is a good one.
Those are my two big ideas.
Dodgeball is a good one.
Dodgeball.
That was mentioned.
Kickball. I mentioned kickball. You didn't mention kickball.
I'm not a big kickball guy.
I know, either. I just wanted to bring it up.
What about funnel cake? All you can eat funnel cake.
For not our players, everybody else would be great. But
he could put something. He'd lose it quick. Look at his metabolism. Coach is offering great ideas. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, your teammates climb into the building, the culture. I remember, and I forgot who was on, Coach, though. I'll bar you real quick. He said, look, it's not my job to make sure we do the whole let's walk around, work around the room and everybody tell about your – that's your job to kind of come together. Yeah. There is that business side of it, and there should be that eagerness and that want to meet. How is it going with the new teammates, a lot of new faces? Can you sense a different vibe?
Definitely. I think we're all closer, to be honest. Each room is closer position-wise, and then each side of the ball is definitely closer. And then, surprisingly, guys on defense and offense actually get along. There's more friendships, you know, between both sides.
You're actually pulling for one another in success?
Yeah, it's definitely.
Was it segmented in the past? To a degree?
I'd say it's a little bit segmented, but, you know, there's always those cliques of guys who might have offense and defense within the groups. But for the most part, this year, it seems like everybody, you know, has something in common with one another, whether it be they're both portal guys and they say, oh, what is your experience like? Or two guys who have been here, or a portal guy talking to a guy who's been here who's trying to, you know, what's this like and stuff like that. So it's a lot of communication going on both sides. It's definitely a good vibe between players and even coaches. Coaches have good relationships with players here. And that's just what we're building off of right now.
How many more wins is that going to equate to in 2025?
Shoot, I hope 12 or 9.
that was the right answer, though.
I just want to win the first one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it all starts with the first one.
But I mean it. Like, I've tried to keep that stuff out. We're trying to be champions.
Okay.
I think I love what Saban did. I steal a lot of stuff from Nick, but one of the biggest things is, you know, he never had goals of winning the SEC or winning a national championship. It was be a champion.
Like, am I on the list now for asking that question?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Live like a champion. Have the habits of a champion. Like, let's live as if we're going to win 12 games.
How many games do you not want to lose next year?
I don't want to lose any
we're
games.
We're going to try to win them all.
Yes.
Try to win them all.
Then we'll get stilts and all and bungee.
That's
stuff.
When they'll come.
That will come.
When you start
build
winning.
It, they'll come.
Yes, sir.
Build it, and the stilts will come.
What is with the implementation of new defense, and what I've heard from other guys is it's more basic. It's just it's not in a bad way, but it's been simplified where you can read, react, go.
Definitely. I think Coach Russ's biggest thing is play fast. If you make a mistake, make it fast, and that has definitely helped the defense out from my perspective. I just think now there's a big focus on the mental part of the game, you know, being able to say when you see this, what's coming after that based off the routes you're getting, based off the split you're getting, down and distance, what hash it's on, you know, being able to think through a play rather than just playing, you know, backyard football, being able to actually get the cerebral next level thinking on that defense is really where we could flourish. Against other teams.
Is there anything you would like to ask Coach Dilfer while we're here on the podcast?
Not really.
Just anything? We'll just open it up.
What do you think, based off the spring, I think you touched on it a little bit. What do you think we need to most improve on?
See, I'm always preparing my answers as you're asking questions, so I know the answer to this. Yeah. We have to get better at all the little things.
Yeah.
Like, it is... It's discouraging at times, but then you realize it's a new team. It's new schemes. We made the same error multiple times, which is like the curse of losers, right? Winners don't repeat the same mistake twice. Losers keep repeating the same mistake. So we got to fix that, number one. And then number two, there's so many graduate level nuances to making something work in football. So you can play our base coverage, our base front, run the base stunt, have, you know, identify everything the same. It's the one that puts their hand in the right place, that their eyes are in the right place, that their second step's in the right place, that they lose the right area to lose. That's a big part of graduate level football, is knowing where to lose. Young players try to completely win the play all the time. And by doing so, they take unnecessary risk, which a lot of times you can win your snap, that play, by tying or losing in the right area. If you lose in the right area, but your teammate is winning in the right area, he can win that play for you. So people call it, you know, team ball. But team ball is 11 guys at the same time making great decisions, using technique, nuance to give themselves the best chance of winning that down, but also never losing that down in a bad way. And if you go back, and I can show you countless clips from 2 years of 9 guys doing it right, 10 guys doing it right, but one guy not just does it wrong, he does it the only way that can get you beat on that play wrong. And to me, that they need a better understanding of how all the pieces work together and not put as much pressure on themselves to completely dominate a play. But a lot of times just do your job on the play and trust everybody else to do their job and we'll be successful.
Good stuff. You can't prepare for these questions. This is the lightning round. Start it up. Here we go. First question. Can you name one of the 7 dwarves?
Drowsy.
We will accept that. Sleepy is one of the answers. Sleepy.
Yeah, there we go.
I was thinking Smurfs. I have no idea. Can I tell a story real quick?
We will. Coach Dilfer's a lot of timeouts.
So we name our personnel groupings on offense, right?
Yeah.
So we might call it, we have all kinds of different names. But I was thinking to come back because we have some receivers that you would call less than ideal height. Is that a fair way of saying it? Right?
Yes, sir.
But they're really good players. So when they come back, I'm going to have all these Smurf personnel groupings and the receiver groupings.
I loved Handy Smurf.
And then I'm going to name each receiver after one of the Smurfs. I already know who Grumpy is.
Who's it?
I'm not telling. But then
I know who.
And then we'll be able to name those personnel groupings like 11 Smurfs. So 11 Grumpy will be 11 Grumpy Smurf and 11 whatever Sleepy Smurf. And
Hayes, give me a roster. I'm gonna figure this out before the podcast is over.
So I started thinking about the showcase the other day. I had my little roster. I'm like, oh, okay, that could be that Smurf. And then I text my girls. I'm like, hey, do you remember all the Smurfs' names? And then I realized there's Google, so I just went to Google and got all the Google Smurfs' names.
Smurfette.
So we don't have any. We don't have any Smurfettes, but definitely.
Are you Papa Smurf?
No, I'm not really a Smurf. I'm 6'4". Well, I was 6'4" before my knee replacement.
You went down?
I don't measure myself anymore. But I was 6'4".
No, I know.
So I can't be a Smurf.
Well, Smurfs, I mean, you couldn't be a dwarf, a 7 dwarf either.
I told my Smurf story. I don't know any dwarf's name.
Okay, well, you named one. From? One of them is Grumpy.
Snow White. Did they basically just take the Smurfs and name them after the dwarfs?
I don't know how that came about. It was back. It was opposite. They took the Smurfs from the 7 dwarves. That's what dwarves.
I said. They just named the Smurfs after the dwarves. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Gargamel. He was mean.
Yeah. It was Snow White. Yeah. Yeah. Snow White. It's super old. Dwarfs was like 80s.
He's got to go. Okay.
I mean, Smurfs was like 80s. Yeah.
Big dog or small dog?
Big dog.
Both. I've had both.
Okay.
Can't do small dogs.
I think Grace Morky. Norman. Yeah. After Cheers. Norm.
Norm.
Norm was a... Oh, he's the best. We passed last year.
Yeah.
Put him down.
I love 15 dogs.
Years old.
I'm to the point now. I've always owned big dogs as an adult, but as a kid, we had smaller dogs. I would take both.
We like both.
I appreciate both. But I think now I'm at the stage of my life, I don't know if I'm ready to train another big dog.
Living it, right? It's not fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I would handle it too well. Like, come home and a couch is torn up.
Traveling becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. Like, you forget how expensive it is to board dogs. Oh. I mean, super expensive.
I had 4 labs at one time. It would cost more than the cost of two of us on the trip.
Yeah.
What?
Now you can't fly. Yeah. You know you can't fly big dogs anymore.
I would never fly my dogs.
Okay.
Unless I had to.
So, like, we're literally having somebody drive out to where we go on vacation this summer with our dog and then fly him back.
Yeah, they have enough trouble sometimes keeping up with my bag, much less a member of my family that's, like, little that's riding in cargo.
Like, Norman would sit with me on the plane.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Best Australian accent you can give me.
I might botch it. I might botch
it. It's fine.
This is a horrible idea. This is a horrible idea. I think we should go to the next question.
You're going to use a pass here?
Yes.
You can't do it?
No, I can't do it. It's embarrassing.
Good eye, mate.
Yeah, that sounds good, dude.
Good night, mate. You try it.
I have a blooming onion.
Good eye, mate.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Do it again.
Good eye, mate.
That's good.
It's better than mine.
No, his, but because the key is not saying good day, it's good eye.
Good eye.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's probably why I messed it up.
Once I hear it, I might be able to mimic it, but I can't just do it off command like
that. That's really good, actually.
You do yours?
I did. Mine was terrible. I did it, though.
Okay. we'll start with you. Do you like the smell of gasoline?
Ooh, like when it spills and you're filling your car up? Yeah, I gotta say I do a little bit. Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like the smell of new tires?
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Why is that? New car, everybody likes that.
Yeah, everybody likes that.
Everybody loves the smell of leather.
My wife actually does not like new car. That's she's
really
new car. She does not like new car smell. No. It's weird. Wow.
So you just buy her used cars?
No, I still buy her new cars.
Oh, you just put air fresheners in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a smell that you, what's the worst smell ever?
I don't know. I don't really like.
Is there a smell when you walk into a building and you're like, yeah, nope, I'm out.
Just like natural stink.
Just natural stink. B.O.?
Bad breath.
Bad breath is gnarly. That's bad breath. Mold is tough. You get those like dingy, moldy basements. You know, that smell, I guess it's mold.
Yeah, that would be, but. Halitosis, that's a real thing.
That's a real thing. It's a problem.
It is a problem, and it's some people, they can't help
it. I want to tell a story so bad, but I'm afraid the person is going to listen to this, and I can't tell it.
Yeah, don't tell it.
Yeah, you probably should.
I have somebody close to me that has really bad halitosis, and it's killing me.
And you haven't been able to tell them?
I can't.
No?
Luckily, I don't have to spend a ton of time with this person.
A smell that I do like, though, is that garage smell.
Like a garage smell.
That woody garage smell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it has a workbench in it, that type of?
Yeah, I like that.
Do you ever want to work with wood? Like, my wife's trying to get me to do like a woodworking stuff. I will never work with wood. I coach football. And if I have any extra time, it's my grandkids or play golf. I don't have time for anything else.
Yeah.
But she really wants to do woodwork.
I can do it. And I get it naturally. My grandfather, he was superintendent. And he's got a building. He had a building background. But I will do it when I have to. It's not a passion.
A dream of mine would be having one of those awesome garages that has everything organized, has all the coolest new DeWalt stuff. Everything's color coordinated. You have all your tools.
Yeah.
Your electric. And then a really cool, like the size of this room, workbench that had all the cool woodwork. And I would never use it. But it'd be cool to like take Instagram pictures in it and make people think that you are like a big woodworker.
AJ, I got an idea. For the next spring showcase, we've got TD and we got another assistant coach. Yeah. And they have to build something basic in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, a little craft.
I would do that.
Yeah.
We're not doing pneumatic tools. We're not doing 22-volt cordless. No, you're going old school E-swing, 22-ounce frame and hammer. You're going a 16-penny nail.
I framed homes one summer. That was brutal.
That is brutal.
My fingers.
Oh, but your hand-eye coordination, they had to love you.
You have to. You break all your fingers.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get ready, AJ?
5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. It can be quick.
Really?
The 5 a.m. wake-ups, you learn how to get ready quick.
But, okay.
How nice is this? That's over.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. It's my schedule, and I was the most miserable of it. And I'm early. I'm up at 5 no matter what. But for whatever reason, wake up at the 4s was brutal for, what were we, 6 weeks of spring ball? Like, it was torture.
It's to the point now I can't sleep past 8 o'clock. I'm up.
That's good.
7, I'm good sleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could sleep in yesterday, and I was up at 6:17. I was like, whoa, I was panicked, too. I was like, what's going on? What'd I miss?
Today, I felt like, I'm like, oh, we got practice? I'm like, wait, we good?
Isn't that a great feeling, though?
Best feeling ever.
Yeah.
I'm 8 minutes. It's easy. Time it. I time my getting ready too.
Unless you're going to a concert.
Yeah, I compete with myself too.
And some of these are repeat questions, but I want to know. First celebrity crush you had?
Beyonce.
Yeah, sure. It's been a popular one.
I looked her up. Oh, that's right. I looked her up after we had the show where I couldn't think of her name, and now I can't remember her name. Gosh dang it. Go ahead and ask me a question.
Was it a TV sitcom?
My wife knows.
I thought it was.
No, it was a. She's in a lot of stuff.
Who has it easier in the portal era? Coaches or players?
Players. Are you kidding me?
Excuse me, coach. That was not your question.
Sorry.
He gets it from the coach's perspective. I get it from player's perspective. I mean, the coaches, they're getting paid. They good. You know, they got
to. Well, to be fair, some players are getting paid.
Elizabeth Shue was her name.
Elizabeth Shue.
That's good.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Cocktail.
Yep.
I just feel like the players that are in the portal really don't have a future at that point. Their future is in somebody else's hand wanting them.
So let's
have a conversation with AJ because I actually trust AJ. Do you think there should be two windows or just one?
How long would that on the single one be?
I don't care actually, but why does it need to be long? Because all it is getting in. And there's no such thing as tampering. So you guys all know ahead of time, right? So, I mean, we have college coaches. I have phone records of this. A college coach at another university calling one of my players. Well, that's happened multiple times this spring. Calling multiple players on my roster. I have the screenshot of their cell phone number. I know their cell phone number, and they're not in the portal. So there's no such thing as tampering.
Right.
But do you think there should be one or two?
I say one just because.
Would it be this one or would it be the one in December?
December.
Yeah. Blatant tampering.
So I 100% agree. So the coaches took a proposition to the committee recently to eliminate the second portal window, and it passed unanimously with coaches. And a lot of those coaches then called in players and said, hey, would you guys? Most players would say one as well. However, they're not going to pass. It's still going to be two, most likely, because you have enough student athletes fighting for the rights of both periods. And all the attorney generals are going to side with the players. Right. Obviously, that's how they're going to get reelected. You don't say no to the players. Right. Say no to coaches making a bunch of money. So the politics of this is pretty interesting. I love the portal. I've said it to our players. I've told our players, I like you guys making money. If I can't pay you what you're worth, I will take you to the place where you can make what you're worth. The problem with two is it's becoming virtually impossible to build the type of team you want to build. Because right now, they come back May 19th, and they're going to have 10 new scholarship teammates. And they're going to have 20, because we're probably going to have a bunch of we're going to have 30 new people in the building. Mm. And we're going to have from May 19th to August 28th to do something that you used to get January 4th to August 28th to do, which is build true team.
Right.
You can absorb that in December, right? Because you have the whole winter and you can just redo your team. That's fine. But to do it twice and then to have unfiltered free agency twice, just doing the economics, balancing the books is nearly impossible. Oh, by the way, the portals don't match the fiscal years, which now RevShare is based on a fiscal year. So you people out there that think it's easy, please. I'm on now my 16th iteration of our salary.
Good luck, Judge Wilkin. Hope everything goes well. Yeah, let's get that thing settled.
It's unbelievable.
This final question, you're not allowed to answer, Coach. But, so AJ, as a defender, who would you... If I asked you, you had to defend this quarterback, and you're going to have success. Like, everything depends on your success.
I know where this is going.
Would it be Shedeur Sanders or Jalen Milroe?
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
Shedeur. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Jalen Milroe will cause... He's one of those guys where you could have a covered sack, but you got to get him down. And that's when his ability to run would be more lethal than Shedeur's ability to, you know, surgically do our team.
Who would you have rather defend more success? Trent Dilfer, back in his playing days, or Heath Shuler?
You're mean human.
Well, basically what he says is, he got the fast 40, 6'4",
Heath Shuler. You would rather defend Heath Shuler.
Oh, these kids.
Dilfer would carve you up. Dilfer was actually really good.
I got to get my combine numbers to show these guys officially. I think it was 6'4", 238. I ran 4.64 or 4.64. I can't remember.
So you're running me over, Coach?
33-inch vertical leap.
He's a great golfer.
Oh, yeah.
I threw a ball 82 yards in the air one time.
Man.
You serious?
I never reached my potential.
This has been fun. AJ, thanks for hanging out.
Oh, thanks for having me.
AJ's
a guy you can call, just call up your office and hang out and talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like an adult.
Yep. Always keep talking. I'll talk for hours if y'all let me.
You know what we should do? You and Mouth need to do a show.
Oh, for sure.
On your business plan.
Yes.
Okay, so I have, I'm dead serious about this.
No, I'm serious.
These two, Kyle McKinney, AJ Brown, you, let them pitch their TV show. It was a movie or TV show?
It was TV show.
TV show.
Please.
But just get them talking.
Yeah.
It's over.
You do not want me here. Like, those two, it's awesome.
Next show.
Yeah, those two.
Hey, can we get this done? Let's get it done.
We go to a service project right when the season's over. I haven't seen you guys in a while, right? It'd been a couple of weeks or something. And we go clean up at Parker High School, and they jump out of their car. Coach, you got to hear this idea. And I'm blah, 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 blah. It's just the two of them. It's actually really good.
If there's a habitat opportunity, I better see you with a...
Not at all, baby.
With a manual hammer.
I think the show could be the next Breaking Bad. It's one of those... Yeah, it's a top-tier idea.
It's really good.
I can't say it on... No. They're going to steal it, but...
That's true. You got to be careful. You can't give your IP away. Yep. Just get these two talking about anything, though.
We'll do it.
Mouth never shuts up.
Oh, yeah. You'll love him. He's built for entertainment.
Yeah, he really is.
Bring him on. AJ, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Again. Coach Dilfer, thank you.
See you next week.
All right. The Inferno Podcast continues. All right, Blazer fans, it's time for this week in UAB Athletics. How about UAB softball? Shout out to Coach T. Smart and the Blazers. They take 2 of 3, the series win over East Carolina last weekend. Blazers now 10-14 in conference play, 1 game back of East Carolina in the standings. Get the final series of the regular season coming up at Charlotte this weekend. Friday, first pitch 5 o'clock Saturday at noon, and 11 a.m. the first pitch on Sunday. Meanwhile, UAB baseball, they get their first conference series win of the season as they get 2 over Rice. They drop the final game, but still 2 out of 3. That ain't bad. And UAB baseball now up at Memphis this weekend. FedEx Park Friday, first pitch 6:05, Saturday 4:05, and then Sunday to close things out at 1:05. UAB Beach Volleyball, their season unfortunately came to an end last week at the CUSA tournament, but the Blazers finished with a program best 21-12 record, multiple individual and pairs records throughout the season. Congratulations to Beach Volleyball, the Blazers, and head coach Delaney Rose. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.